You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following is a special Christmas broadcast of The Lutheran Hour. A blessed Christmas to you. For weeks now, people have been preparing for this special day, decorating their homes, singing Christmas carols, and buying gifts. Today, Dr. Wallace Schultz says our most important Christmas gift was announced by an angel.
The first Christmas began with the birth of the Lord Jesus, and the most important gift that you and I and our families can ever receive at Christmas is the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed hope of His forgiveness.
Stay with us as we focus on the true good news of Christmas. Music today features the Kammer Chor of Concordia University, Wisconsin, and the Concordia Seminary Lutheran Hour Chorus. We begin with O Be Joyful, Earth and Sky, by Jan Bender and Henry Gerke. Listening to The Lutheran Hour, a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries. And now here is Dr. Wallace Schultz with a message titled, News of Great Joy. He begins with prayer.
Almighty and everlasting God, as we look at the world and our society on this Christmas, we see so much confusion, so much hatred and tears. Thank you, dear Lord, for sending your Son Jesus. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can now receive the great gift of forgiveness. Through faith in your Son, Jesus, we are given strength and help. And through faith in Jesus, we receive the greatest Christmas gift of all, the blessed hope of heaven. In Jesus' intercessory name, we pray, Amen. Turn on the television news and what do you hear? There is bloody fighting in Bosnia, starvation stalks millions in Africa, gangs now terrorize large sections of cities, and even rural areas are now bracing for skyrocketing burglaries. When it comes to radio, television, or the newspaper news, most headlines today are negative, unsettling, and even discouraging. Compare these messages of gloom and doom with the bold announcement of the angel at the first Christmas. Do not be afraid, the angel said, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This bold gospel announcement is good news in every generation. 2,000 years ago, God's people were oppressed by a foreign government. Husbands and wives were struggling. They had to labor long days to keep their families together. At the first Christmas, well-stocked grocery stores simply did not exist. And in those days, worship services were often burdensome. Religious messages were frequently filled with the demands of the law rather than being centered on the joy of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when the fullness of time had come, God suddenly intervened. On that first Christmas, when Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, there were also lowly shepherds living out in the fields. They stayed 24 hours a day with their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord stood before these shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and these shepherds were terribly frightened. Then the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born a Savior for you, who is Christ the Lord." Then the Bible says, "There also appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased." Oh, this is a joy that occurred on the first Christmas. And this is the joy that has occurred in every Christ-centered Christmas for the last 2,000 years. And this same joy can also be yours on this Christmas of 1994. Gifts, good food, and pleasant drink may touch the body. However, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the center of God's Christmas, touches and brings lasting joy to the soul. This good news is also for you, no matter who you are, and no matter what you will be doing this Christmas. In fact, you may even be in a hospital or in a prison. It makes no difference. Your life may now be filled with more rain and tears than with sunshine or joy, and your home may be more of a domestic battle zone than a haven of hope. And at this moment, your marriage may appear to be more of an albatross around your neck than a wellspring of joy and fulfillment. But especially in this Christmas season, don't give up, for the God of hope, of joy and forgiveness wants to come into your life. And His message of love for you is the same message as was originally delivered by the angel to the fear-filled shepherds. Do not be afraid. Do not doubt, for behold, into your life during this Christmas of 1994, God is bringing the good news of great joy. This good news is for you because it means that your past mistakes and your many failures need no longer haunt you. This gospel of good news means that in Jesus Christ, God is eager to give you new strength and hope for the days ahead. It is permanent. This great joy is based neither on money nor materialism. This joy is neither temporary nor fleeting, and this joy is not wrapped up in ribbons. This joy is all wrapped up instead in the sinless life, the bloody crucifixion, and the glorious resurrection of Jesus. You see, just before Jesus was born, an angel said, "You shall call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins." The angel was foretelling that the newly born baby Jesus would soon be nailed to the cross as a consequence of your sins and mine. This angel on the first Christmas was foretelling that Jesus would die to pay for our sins, and that this same Jesus would rise again from the dead on the third day, so that you and I can now possess an everlasting hope, both today and also for eternity. Oh, my dear friend, if disharmony lurks in your home this Christmas season, and if discouragement dominates your spirit, or if loneliness controls your life, trust that the angel's message of the first Christmas is also a message of hope and help for you. 2,000 years ago, there was born in a stable a little baby who is now your Savior from your sin. Instead of doubting, simply confess like the aged Simeon who said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Christmas is, of course, that season of high expectations. And if you and I can't really get what we really want during the first 11 months of the year, then we can always wait for Christmas. Christmas is that time when you and I ask not for those things that we really need, but rather often for those things we want, especially unneeded luxuries. And this is also why in the secular world we have invented myths like Santa Claus. From God, we ask for those things that we need. But from the mythical Santa Claus, we can ask for those things that we really don't need, There are today, however, even for Santa Claus, increased limitations and restrictions. For example, in large cities today, there are companies that rent Santa Clauses to department stores. Last year, Rent-a-Santa Claus Services furnished something in addition to the Santa Claus. They provided a manual of instructions on what every Santa is supposed to do and not to do. Each department store Santa was told that when a child sits on his lap, never promise anything. That's right, never promise, and always be evasive in your answer. If a child makes a request, respond by saying, "I'll think it over," or "let's see what old Santa can do." But whatever you do, don't promise, because you may not be able to deliver. Oh, how decidedly different this Santa Claus is from the love shown by our God of grace, especially during the Christmas season. God not only promises, but He always delivers. And this Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, is the number one result of God's longest and most important promise. You see, already centuries before the first Christmas, Isaiah the prophet foretold Christ's coming, and Micah the prophet provided amazingly accurate details. Consequently, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, and at just the right moment and at the correct place, Jesus Christ was born. This Christmas will surely bring excitement and laughter to numerous households. However, sadly, this same lasting peace of God, promised by God through the Christ of Christmas, will be blocked by the bitterness in the hearts of many husbands. The joy of the holidays will also be terminated by the refusal of many, many wives to put the past behind them and to start over and to begin a new life of forgiveness and love. For many people, our modern Christmas celebrations are no longer centered around the birth of Jesus Christ. Nowadays, Christmas is all too often a commercialized extravaganza, all built upon the Santa Claus myth and all designed to give temporary merriment and life. Insight magazine reported that in 1993, Americans spent $400 billion on Christmas. And the average family spent nearly $800 on gifts. This same magazine reported that many people today are driven so intensely by the commercialization of Christmas that they shop until they drop. This is not the way God intended Christmas to be, and it was not Santa Claus that started the first Christmas. The first Christmas began with the birth of the Lord Jesus, and the most important gift that you and I and our families can ever receive at Christmas is the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed hope of His forgiveness. For this reason, in His Word, God says, especially during the Christmas season, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you." And this is also what the angel was talking about at the first Christmas. Shortly after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, an angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." 2,000 years later, in 1994, this Christmas gospel message has become even more important. With uptight marriages, with so many homes lacking harmony, and with thousands of people searching for the meaning of life, the words spoken at the first Christmas are so very, very important. No matter who you are, and no matter where you are at this moment, let the real Christmas happen in your life, and let the words of the Christmas angel ring in your ears and resound in your heart. Behold, a Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born, and this Savior is for you. Oh yes, of all the gifts that you could receive this year, the greatest is the forgiveness of God. In Jesus Christ and through His death on the bloody cross, all of your past sins and mistakes have been paid for. And so, don't look the other way. Through indifference or unbelief, please do not refuse the true joy of Christmas, my friend. But instead, let this gospel be good news for your heart and your soul. And let the good news of God's forgiveness bubble over and bring joy also to your family and all of your friends. And indeed, it is sad that some so-called biblical scholars are now trying to call the account of the first Christmas a legend. Dr. Paul Meyer, a professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, in an interview carried nationwide, quite correctly pointed out the confidence that we now can have in the factual historicity of the Christmas story in the Bible. Dr. Meyer notes that the census decree issued by the Roman emperor and referred to in the Bible in the Gospel of Luke is the last piece of the divine human puzzle. With great care, the gospel historian St. Luke writes in the Bible, and I quote, "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And Joseph went from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. Joseph did this in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for Mary to give birth. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped this little baby Jesus in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." This is the true, historical, and reliable account of the first Christmas as recorded in the Bible, in His Word, and all wrapped up in the reliable and trustworthy history of the first Christmas. God has good news of great joy for you, for on that day a baby was born, and that baby Jesus is now your Savior. This baby was not only born for you, He has also suffered, and He has died for you on the cross. Your past sins and your mistakes now need no longer condemn you. Your recent failures need no longer burden you. In Jesus Christ, God wipes away all of your past sins. In Jesus Christ, God's divine and perfect forgiveness is your best Christmas present of all. This Christmas of 1994, God is offering you, yes, He is encouraging you to start over. Put the past behind you. Be a new person filled with love, forgiving your spouse and all of your family. And then when somebody asks you, what did you get for Christmas this 1994? Be sure to tell them that you received the peace of God through the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, for you in the city of David, there was born a Savior who is Jesus Christ, your Lord. Merry Christmas. You have received the greatest gift of all. Begin now. Look forward to a wonderful Christ-filled New Year. Amen.
We heard a piece by John Boda titled Babe of Beauty, sung for us today by the choirs of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. During the Christmas season, people seem to be overflowing with love and goodwill towards each other. If there was ever a time when we want to put old grudges behind us, it's at Christmas. But sometimes that's difficult to do. We'd like to help you by giving you a free booklet titled How to Forgive and Forget. It's yours free for the asking simply by calling the Lutheran Hour toll-free at 1-800-876-9880 or write the Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. If you've moved recently and you're looking for a new church home, call us. We'll tell you where you can find a caring Christian congregation in your area. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-876-9880. What do a rose parade float, a flooded home, and a newly reopened church in Russia all have in common? They were all made possible by the work of Christian volunteers, and they are all labors of love. Find out why next week in our special New Year's program titled Resolved, More Service. We pray that today's special broadcast has enabled you to rejoice in the greatest gift of all, God's gift of a Savior for you. That's good news the whole world needs to hear, and we need your help. Please pray for us, and as God enables you, consider making a financial gift so that together we can help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Our address is The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now Dr. Schultz invites you to join him as he leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen. Thank you.
Was there really a Christmas star? I'm Mark Eicher, and joining us once again is our associate speaker, Dr. Wallace Schultz. And today we'd like to talk about the star that's mentioned in the Bible, the one that appeared over Bethlehem when Jesus was born. We look at Christmas cards and Christmas ornaments. They all seem to have a star on them. But is there really any reason for us to believe that there was a special star in the sky when Jesus was born?
Mark, the question is really quite an exciting question. You see, according to the historical documents available to us in the Bible, we call them the Gospels, we read that at the time Jesus was born, there were indeed some wise men, or as we say sometimes, sages, who had arrived in Jerusalem from the east, and they had followed a star to this location.
So that Christmas star that we see on the cards or on top of the Christmas tree, it had its beginnings in actual history.
Indeed. And for the benefit of our listeners, let me read now how the gospel historian St. Luke describes this event in the Bible. I'm reading now from the Bible. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi, or wise men, from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, of course, here the Bible explains that Herod was very upset. He was the king, of course, and he didn't want another king to be born. In fact, you might say Herod was downright angry, but he was also very clever. He didn't show his anger.
What did Herod do next?
Well, the Bible tells us that Herod very cleverly gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and then he inquired where the Christ was to be born. And responding, the chief priests and the scribes explained to Herod that according to biblical prophecies, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, interesting again, the Bible also adds that Herod secretly called the Magi and from discussing with them found out the time that the star had appeared. Then Herod sent the Magi to Bethlehem and said, You go and make a very careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report back to me, because I want to go also and worship him.
But did Herod really want to worship the baby?
Well, of course he didn't. He wanted to find the baby Jesus and kill him. You see, it's interesting to note that after the Magi had heard King Herod, they left. And that star, that Christmas star we are now talking about here on the program, which these wise men had seen in the east, went before them. Until it came and stood over that place where the child, the baby Jesus, was lying. And then when the wise men saw the star, the Bible explains, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy.
So this Christmas star that we see in our Christmas decorations is not just for decoration, nor is it a mythical symbol.
That's right. You're very correct there. In fact, Dr. Paul Meyer, who is professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, has done considerable research on the historicity of the Christian faith. In fact, in one of his books published by Harper entitled In the Fullness of Time, Dr. Paul Meyer devotes one entire chapter to the Star of Christmas.
And what conclusion did he come up with?
Well, after he looked at all of the theories that tried to explain away or simply dismiss this star as no more than somebody's imagination, he then points out that there are indeed records of astronomers, especially records kept by the Chinese, that clearly indicate that such an unusual phenomenon as the Star of Christmas did in fact occur during that era of history when Jesus was born.
Thank you, Dr. Schultz. And of course, that Star of Christmas brought us a message of good news. We thank you for making this program part of your day. This brings us to the close of our program for another week. And from all of us here at Lutheran Hour Ministries, we wish you and your loved ones a very blessed Christmas.